Awesome. I'm so excited to be here right now. I'm sitting here with one of my BFFs, Laura Lee, and we are going to just hopefully rock your world and give you some new insights about what you need to just take your relationship with food and all of that to the next level. So this is actually the very first first of a series of four in our Stressless Cooking. And so today we're going to be just giving you this like cooking mindset 101. Where what you're going to be doing is we're just going to be teaching you these top five mindset shifts that you need to become a stressless cook and to make stressless cooking possible, to really just remove the stress, the emotion, the obsession, anything of those air quotes negative emotions that's coming alongside it. And that's what we're going to be taking a look at in this video, is really how to shift you into that process. But before we dive in, I want to just kind of give you a little heads up about how stressless cooking came to be, okay? So Laura Lee and I met a couple years ago. We became fast friends, and I'm gonna tell you about her in just a moment, but she's a holistic chef, and she does a lot of amazing things with food, but it's so much more than that. And so as we became friends, we kind of realized, like, wait a minute, we actually have a lot of very similar philosophies and thought processes around food. And as we dove into it, like, one of the things that she was sharing with me is, like, I get a lot of people that ask me about this emotional eating and stress eating and, like, really kind of that diet mentality or obsession over food. And I really don't know how to answer that because I've never actually really struggled with that. And so interestingly enough, even though we have the same philosophies around food, it was an example of how two different people can get to the same place in different ways. And she's an example of, like, a way of being that never had these struggles. And it's a beautiful example of how to have a really beautiful, comfortable, clear connection with food. And obviously I spent, you know, decades of my life trying to craft that out. And that's why we're having these conversations today, is because there is a systematic approach to doing that. And so we teamed up because, you know, we realized that this is the kind of conversation that needs to be had. But also the same kind of stress and emotion and obsession that's coming around food, it comes around the preparation and cooking and preparing process as well. That's not a place that is, you know, that is immune from that topic. And so we got together a few weeks ago, and we went to Asheville, North Carolina, and we just created the magic that we're just about to bring to life from you. And really, it's a mindset. It is a series of philosophies. Because again, just like you're learning in stressless eating, food is not the problem. It's who you're being and how you're feeling around the food and the doing, the version of you that's doing the doing, that makes all of the difference. And so we're going to bring these lessons to life, that same kind of thought processes to life. And so for those of you who don't know Laura Lee, I want to take a minute to just brag on her. She's one of my favorite people in the world. I'm a little bit biased because I just get to hang out with her and love on her all the time. But she is also one of the most talented and gifted women when it comes to this food world. But she's not just your average chef. She's not just a cookbook author. She's somebody that actually gives a shit. She cares about you and your relationship with food. She cares about your happiness. And that's why we became fast friends, but also decided to team up together. And so, you know, I've had the privilege of getting to know her, but I just want to share a little bit about her. You know, she's a certified holistic chef, and she's based out of here, her hometown, Nashville, Tennessee. And she's really all about taking the stress out of cooking and proving that healthy can be delicious. It can be affordable, but it can also be family friendly. Like, you don't have to overhaul your whole life or your family's life to make it work. And so her first cookbook, the Laura Lee Balance Cookbook, she's helped countless women take control of their lives by taking control of their kitchen. It's really what that is. And so that said, she's not a purist. Like, she believes that how you feel is just as important as what you eat. She, again, really embodies these stressless eating philosophies. And I love what she says. She says, I'd rather you feel carefree eating pizza than stress out eating a kale salad. I love that. It's just like, you know, if love and warm chocolate chip cookies is wrong, I don't want to be right. And so that being said, I just wanted to take a moment and just turn it over to her. And she's going to really drive this bus and take you through these concepts. I'm going to chime in a little bit, but this is her magic. And I'm going to just turn it on over to her.
Hi, ladies. I am so excited to be here and so honored, and just echoing everything that Leanne said. I don't think I really realized how much these topics dovetail together until Leanne and I started really communicating about it. And while it is so unbelievably crucial for long-lasting sustainable change for you to start with the stressless eating mindset, it is also really important to figure that out when it comes to the implementation, because that's going to be a lot more difficult to keep as a consistent practice if you walk into your kitchen and you're completely overwhelmed and intimidated. So we are going to dive into some juicy goodness here. But first, before we begin, there are just some concepts that I want you to keep in mind as we go. The first is your current mindset around cooking and cultural perception. So in the 50s, advertising led to a perception of cooking that we have today as stressful, unnecessary, etc., to sell packaged food. And it sounds crazy because we don't even think about that, but there was a concerted effort on the side of the advertising industry to take what was always considered a very honorable and respected part of the day, which is shopping and cooking, and turn it into something that was perceived as a hassle, which it shouldn't be. So we need to just keep that in mind, that these are not, you know, indelible truths. Part of this is a cultural perception. The second thing is cooking as a form of creative expression. I have so many people tell me that they don't have a creative outlet in their lives, and you know that they have jobs that they can't do anything about, but they would love something outside of work that just really gets them fired up. And let me tell you, cooking can be that for every single one of you. This is a great opportunity for you to be creative and express yourself in a place that we all have, which is a kitchen. The third is that cooking can be a powerful part of any emotional, mental, or physical healing process you're going through. What really inspired me to get into this business 6 years ago was that everyone was talking about the aesthetic benefits of eating healthy food, but there was just not a lot of chatter about the emotional and mental benefits. And for me, while I've always had a good relationship with food for the most part, I had a horrible relationship with my own brain, and I was very, very deeply anxious, and eating healthy food and cooking for myself is really what helped me to start to heal from the inside out. So that's just important to keep in mind. The fourth is that the kitchen is your queendom, and so many of my readers have beautiful families with children and busy lives, and regardless of whether you have kids, we all have a busy life, and it's so amazing when you switch your mindset to see your kitchen as your refuge and your port in the storm and the one place in your life that you can control when everything else seems out of control, and you totally have the prerogative to kick people out of your kitchen and to make it yours, fill it with the things that you want, and really own that. And I find that there's just so much power in starting to view your kitchen as your queendom. And then the last is that cooking connects you to the earth. A lot of us live urban lives, and even if we live in the suburbs, we probably get very little time outside. It's so sad because now there's this new terminology called earthing in the health food world that's literally just putting your feet on the ground. And I love that we now have this like fancy wellness word for something that's just what we all are supposed to be doing and what we do as children. So cooking connects you to the earth. If you live in a city or you really can't get outside for those walks or hikes or, you know, laying in the grass / earthing, cooking real food can give you your nature fix, and it can also help with things like hormonal regulation, calming the nervous system, remembering not to sweat the small stuff, and just putting things in perspective because we are all small.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now that we have those goodies to keep in mind, the new mindset that we are going to have is that easy is earned. I love this saying. One of my mentors taught me this saying, easy is earned. And the whole idea is that cooking becomes easy with practice. And we're going to dive into this in another module, but I have so many people tell me that it's difficult. Well, I mean, everything is difficult. Even tying your shoes is difficult when you've never done it before, but it can become so easy and simple if you make it a practice. But the only way that you're going to make cooking a practice is if you really absorb the fact that it should be a priority in your life. If you make it a priority, then you will practice and then it will become easy.
Absolutely. I just want to chime in here, ladies. Like, there's no judgment whatsoever whether you take on this practice and whether you make it a priority or not. But just like we're talking about this definition of self-esteem, like, either choose it or choose not to, and give yourself permission to. But if you do, absolutely embrace it. Just like anything, it's a practice that if you think of it in a way that you're working with the brain, it can become easier the more you practice it. If you're, again, we're going to teach you how to create those positive neuroassociations along the way, but just like anything, either commit and decide and choose it or not. And again, no judgment either way, but just know what it is and what it isn't.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's so much power in just making the choice, whatever that choice is. So I want to be really clear about what it is that I am not saying to you guys. And this is not about me giving you recipes, nutrition, statistics, baby steps, walking you through knife skills. If you want that information, that is all over the internet. And I have obviously lots of recipes for you as well, but that's not what this is. This is so much deeper and so much stronger than that. What I am saying is that this is about learning to listen to your body. When you listen to your body, you know what to cook and you know what makes you feel amazing. But also you actually begin to enjoy cooking and you understand why it's so incredibly important for you. This is not about all of those details that you can write down and keep a list of all of your ingredients. There are frameworks and philosophies that give you the foundation to be a stressless cook, even when you don't get anything right. And again, like there are a million YouTube videos on knife skills and how to properly slice a steak or whatever, but it's only important if you have the mindset behind it and why you're doing it in the first place. So this is about showing up at home with a raw steak and not panicking because you can actually figure out what to do, becoming cool, calm, and collected. And it sounds silly and it may actually sound scary that, I mean, I know there was definitely a time in my life, actually, you know, not even a few years ago where I was really intimidated by just a piece of red meat. And it wasn't learning how to cook red meat that all of a sudden made me feel comfortable with it. It was the confidence that I gained from my overall perspective on what it meant for me to be cooking for myself and making my own food and all of that. It's the macro in that situation. Okay. Without further ado, thank you for your patience. And I hope that that was all helpful in leading up to the top five mindset shifts of stressless cooking. I'm like really freaking excited to be finally diving into this after so much time.
Yes,
We are here. We are here, everybody. So shift one, start spoiling your body, eating primarily high quality whole foods. And I love using the word spoil here, which is kind of a double entendre because not only are you going to be treating your body like the queen of your queendom, but also we want to be focusing on food that spoils. And it really, really matters, guys. So that is shift number one, eat primarily high quality whole foods. What if you changed your framework around healthy cooking and thought of it as being snobby about what you put in your body? What if you decided to raise the bar on yourself and started spoiling your body with as many nutrient-dense whole foods as possible? And y'all, this is just as simple as seeing it as a blessing instead of a burden to spend money on this food and to take the time to prepare it. What if you gave your body as many nutrients as possible so that you could heal and repair yourself and your body and your brain? I mean, again, like your emotions and those, you know, those chronic low-grade mental illnesses that most of us have, forms of anxiety and depression, is so deeply linked to the quality of our food. And then what if you made this an experiment? What if you just were easygoing and carefree and had fun with it? And what if you turned it into a game instead of, you know, something that feels like an uphill battle? Focus on that colorful produce. Focus on your pastured and wild-caught proteins, your whole fat pastured dairy, beans, and grains. Now, obviously, quick caveat, something that we're going to dive into more is bioindividuality. What works for one person is not going to work for another. So these are some just overarching categories of foods that I want people to focus on, but some of them may work for you and some of them may not. Why does this matter? Because those healthy fats, fiber, proteins, nutrients, micronutrients will help your hormonal signals to work properly, letting your brain and belly know that they're satisfied and that you can actually stop eating. And I think learning hunger cues is really, really a huge part of it that we're going to dive into more.
Awesome. And obviously, like, you're already starting to see why I'm so excited to just be in this collaboration with Laura Lee, because this is everything that we're already talking about. Like, remember, we've already talked about, if you go back to week one, you know, think about, like, it's not just a body conversation. Like, this is a nervous system conversation as well. Like, if you have a nourished, fed, healthy, like nutriented, which is a word I think I just made up, cell. Like, we're talking about, like, that your body is only as healthy as its individual cells' health, right? And so what's happening here is, like, nutrients, they increase the health of the cells and they fuel every system in the body. So again, we're thinking micronutrients, not macro, not fat, carbs, protein, all that. That'll all kind of work itself out if you're focusing on starting with the micronutrients. So we're talking about, like, vitamins, minerals. That's what your actual cells need for growth, for vitality, for healing, right? This is a healing journey that we're on. But also, like, your entire body's, like, energy, vitality, ability to heal and regenerate those cells, because we're always, like, our cells are always dying. We need to be able to regenerate them. But that includes, like, the digestion, extraction, mobilization of the food that we're eating, right? But also, as we talked about in the tale of two cookies, the tale of two hearts, the tale of two breaths, all of that, like, we're not able to optimally digest food and extract nutrients and keep your gastrointestinal system and your metabolism healthy if your cells are not healthy, right? And so that's a big part of this too. Again, like, let's say it was a category of, like, just a strictly a weight loss conversation. Like, you're going to have so many more benefits of that external aesthetic stuff if you're able to really start at the core, start at the root, right? And then, of course, it fights and prevents cravings. Like, when I'm nourished and I have nutrients in my body and in my brain, like, it's not a coincidence. I'm not having all of those cravings versus this unnourished, hungry, unhealthy cell. Right. When I say hungry, hungry for vital fuel, right? The nutrient side of things. Because here's the other thing. It's not just about what we are putting in our body. It's also about what we're not putting in our body. Those chemicals, those things that our bodies can't recognize. It's not just me being, like, a chemical snob, because I'm not, you know, it's really just about that they decrease the health of our cells, right? But also, not enough nutrients means your cells can't get what they need. Like, and this is going to mean a decrease in energy, vitality, regeneration, all the other system of systems that make up our nervous system and the system of systems that makes up the rest of our human body can't get what they need, and they suffer as well, right? Because remember, the nervous system is the queen of all of the other system of systems in the body. If it's not healthy, the rest of the systems suffer, right? But also, you can't optimally digest food, extract nutrients, or keep your gastrointestinal system functioning highly, and which means, yes, a sluggish metabolism, even when eating the same, air quotes, like, calories, right? If your cells are not healthy. But also, when you're not getting these nutrients, you're going to have more cravings, and you're not going to know what's hunger and what's when you just fancy something, right? So, and then again, like, we have to take care of our nervous systems first. Like, that is the queen of our bodies. Every other system in this nervous systems, as I call it, it's the nervous system's bitch, right? From the gastrointestinal system to the adrenals to the endocrine system, even the musculoskeletal system, all of that, right? We have to, if we take care of our nervous system, it will take care of us. Okay. And so that's the bottom line. We're just reinforcing everything that we're already talking about in stressless eating. And I'm going to turn it back over to Laura Lee. She's going to take us into shift number two.
Yes, 100%. We are all overfed and undernourished. And it really comes down to which brain do you want? Which brain do you want sitting in your head? And it's just truly that vital. Now, again, I just want to caveat for Leanne and I both, that is not about perfection. It is simply about progress.
Absolutely.
So shift number two, ditch the packaging and chemicals. So this tip is based on personal experience, and it has been corroborated by discussions with my cooking class students. Even if a bar or a bag has the same number of fiber grams as an apple or any other whole food, it's just not as filling and satisfying as that whole food. And perhaps that's why scientific studies have indicated that consumption of processed foods is correlated with increased risk of obesity and weight gain and all sorts of metabolic diseases.
Absolutely. And also this, like, emotional mental health piece of the puzzle, ladies, like, don't underestimate. Like, I found that for me, this is just a random example, but, like, I used to be a Splenda addict. I put Splenda in everything. And not only did it perpetuate my sugar addictions, but it was causing me a lot of like psycho-emotive health struggles that I didn't even know until I ditched them, right? And so again, this is going to bring us back to, you know, kind of rehashing what we talked about in week number one, that mini food awareness experiment that I talked about. It's not a coincidence, right? Shift number two that we just talked about is, again, this, if you want to gamify this, you have it in your week one, which is be aware of when you're consuming chemicals or additives in your food, right? And also be aware of how many nutrients you're getting in your food, which is the shift number one that Laura Lee gave. So everything that we're talking about here is already just reinforcing what we're already talking about, but bringing it into your relationship with food that you're going to bring into your relationship as a cook and into your stressless cooking. Okay. And so again, the other side of it is like, nutrients doesn't mean food has to taste bad. Like make them taste good, you know? And again, think micros, not macros, but like get that bacon fat in there if it'll make your broccoli taste good, and get those healthy fats in there, and get the spices and the flavorings in there, all that. But you also just want to be really aware of the chemicals, the additives, and the foreign substances. Because again, if we're treating our body as this beautiful vessel that we only have one lifetime with it, we want to take care of it. We want to nourish it. We have to start kind of being a little bit snobby, like raising the bar. And again, I give you that example in the food experiment of the pregnancy diet, right? If you were pregnant, you'd be a lot more aware of what you're putting in your body when you think about feeding it to a baby, right? And this is anybody. If you've been pregnant, if you've never been pregnant, like you can put yourself in the shoes of somebody. I learned this when I was working with women. Like when you're feeding somebody else, you all of a sudden like start looking at your body like you're taking care of it. And so it's like, what if we started living like that today and every day and started treating ourselves like we're taking care of a little human side of us? Because we are, whether we're aware of it or not. And that's the conversation that we're really inviting you into. And so this means like, even if that means eating more carbs, eating more fat, eating more calories as a result, your nervous system will thank you for the abundance of nutrients and the lack of chemicals and additives that you're getting, right? It'll thank you when you take away that non-food matter, the stuff that it essentially cannot recognize, right? But it'll also thank you for nourishing it and feeding it. Okay, so that is our invitation to you. All right. And this brings us in to shift number three.
Yes, 100%. Y'all, this is not about us being purists. When you have those chemicals in food, it really makes it almost impossible to listen to your hunger cues. And that's really one of the foundational elements of what we are working with here, and very much dovetails into shift three, which is ditching the clock. So, and we live in a culture where we have these like appropriated times that we're supposed to eat. And, you know, it's gotten to the point where we really start to almost fake, our bodies start to essentially fake hunger signals at certain times because we think that's when we're supposed to eat, but we have to get away from that. Your body is going to tell you when to eat. You don't have to eat if you're not feeling it. And yes, this includes breakfast. This is something that's actually changed for me in the last few years. I don't think that somebody who wakes up and has no desire to put food in their body needs to eat something first thing in the morning. Now, I will just say you should be hydrating first thing in the morning. So make sure you're hydrated when you wake up, but you don't need to eat if you're not hungry. Your lunch can be at 10 a.m. Your lunch can be at 3 p.m. You can have a snack an hour after dinner. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now, if you're wondering how the heck do I do this, you're going to want to focus on your body's intuitive clock. So before you reach for your next grub, I want you to start using your body's intuition to dictate your feeding clock rather than eating just because you think it's, quote, time. Assess if you're truly hungry or not. If you're not, wait until you are. And if you're not sure if you're hungry, drink some water, distract yourself with a walk or a phone call or a book, or as Leanne calls it, a positive distraction. Then check back in with your body. And we are also going to go into way more detail later in our program in a different module about how to really hone in your skills for intuitive eating if that's something that's circulating in your brain right now. And then I also want you to practice the art of listening. The art of listening to your body is a skill set that we have to simply learn. So guys, honestly, out of the, let's say 150 DMs that I get in a given day, I would bet that that number would be cut in half if people knew how to listen to their body. And I'm not blaming anybody who's messaging me. It's hard and it's a practice, and that's why we're here doing this together. But most of the questions that I get are something along the lines of, is this right? Or how many tablespoons of this can I have? Or what do you think about this? I don't know, because everybody's body is different. I mean, I can start with this big framework that we talked about of macronutrients and whole foods, but within that, you have to be your best health guru. And so much of that just comes from learning to listen to your body. And it's going to take practice like everything else, but like everything else we've talked about, easy is earned, and it can be easy. And when you learn to talk to your body and to connect with it, you will know when it needs food and when it's really craving something else.
Absolutely. And this dovetails right into what we're learning about the freedom goggles and the food goggles. And then when you get into the healing, the cycle of overeating, like we have to take, it's a short-term investment of time and energy, and it's a skill set to learn, but then you have it. Once you have it, you have it. And then you just get to practice using it. And so we've got to really be mindful of like, am I hungry or do I just fancy something? Or am I full or do I just fancy more? And learning to differentiate between what that means. And you can't intellectually learn that. You've got to experientially learn that, okay? And so again, this just goes in with everything that we're talking about. And we're going to take it to the next level for shift number four.
So shift number four is knowing your hunger inside and out, knowing what true hunger feels like, learning to recognize your hunger signals. So the first thing to think about is that your desire to eat will get stronger over time, which is pretty self-explanatory. And that's why sometimes really being patient, giving yourself 20 minutes can be so valuable. Number two, super obvious, your stomach will start to growl. But at the same time, I shouldn't say it's super obvious because you know what's interesting and that I just want to add in is that one good way you can ask yourself when you feel like you're having a craving for something is this emotional / memory based or is this micronutrient based? So if you start really finding yourself wanting something but your stomach isn't growling and you're not having some of those natural hunger signals, you might also want to think, is this a meal that reminds me of my grandmother's house? Is this a meal that reminds me of a specific time, you know, a specific really happy time in my life? And if it's memory-based, I'm not saying you shouldn't have it, but I'm saying that's important information to take into consideration. Number three, most food will sound appealing when you're truly hungry, even nutritious food. So that's another thing when you're asking yourself, where is this coming from? If you're like, well, if instead I just had a, you know, can of wild, you know, wild tuna with, you know, a kale salad with like a really yummy dressing. I'm not saying you need to eat bird food all the time, but something that's just simple and nutrient dense and has some flavor, but isn't, you know, filled with all of those more traditionally sort of like indulgent foods. If that sounds good to you, then you're probably actually hungry. Learning to wait. So while you're getting to know your body, you know, again, just drink a glass of water, give it 15 to 20 minutes after you first have desired that food. If you're still hungry, your stomach is growling, you would happily eat an apple and a salad or, you know, a piece of, you know, fish or whatever it is, then you can prepare a meal or a snack.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like, just to kind of stack on that, like when I'm starving, like a salad or, you know, a nutritious meal is going to sound just as good as a Snickers bar, probably even more. Mm-hmm. And when you start listening to it, your body's going to actually start craving those nutritious foods mm-hmm. because oftentimes it's just craving nutrition, right? But oftentimes, like, again, we have to tell the difference between when is it physiological hunger and when is it emotional hunger. And I love how Laura Lee said, like, oh, maybe you're thinking back to a time when you were with your grandma or hanging out, because food, it literally fires and wires an experience in our brain. And sometimes we have to just stop and take a beat and ask ourselves, like, what am I really, really hungry for? And again, this is a skill set that you have to experiment, like, use the experiment mentality and create your own version of knowing this, because you can't learn it again intellectually. You've got to experientially experience it and learn what it looks like for you, because there is that individual component. All right. And we're going to shift into, no pun intended, our fifth and final shift.
Yay. And what I also want to say about that is that's so cool is that if you practice these steps and you find that what it is that you were craving is probably memory based or emotion based, then you actually have the answer to what it is you really need, which is probably some kind of connection, sense of community, sense of belonging, sense of love. And most of us are blessed to know where to go for that. And so when you find that, it's not like, gosh, I'm having another one of these emotional cravings again, and they're so hard to deal with. They're not hard to deal with. Go hug someone you love, you know, go meet a friend for a walk. Fill yourself up with what was the base of that craving in the first place. And, you know, there you go. I mean, you will satisfy yourself truly from the inside out.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'll just stack one more thing. Like food, and I'm going to use a should here for you. You know, I refrain from using the word should and coulda mm-hmm. and woulda and all that, but I'm inviting you because I know the conversation that you're already committed to having. Like food, like right now, if food is your source of oxytocin, it should not be your form of oxytocin if you want to become the version of yourself that you are committed to becoming, right? And here's the thing, you're going to get some oxytocin from food when you're actually connecting from it. So that's awesome. but it can't be your only or main source of connection. You've got to figure out what these different types of hungers are. And the only way to do that is to figure them out and find out.
Totally. 100%. I echo all of that. Okay. So ship number five, how did we get here already? Okay, guys, we are going to ditch the waiting and practice stressless eating. Yay. Okay. So practice stressless eating. And this is my take on it. Stressless eating is a non-judgmental acceptance of physical and emotional feelings while eating or in an eating environment. Research indicates that mindful eating is associated with weight loss, increased fiber intake, lower trans fat, and sugar consumption. And we just, trans fats, blah. We'll talk about that more. Mindful eating is essentially just giving yourself the time and the space and very few distractions, as few as possible when you eat, so that you can be present with your food. It's really that simple, y'all. I mean, truly, like, I know a lot of you probably, well, a lot of you, there aren't many of us here, but eventually there will be a lot of people hearing this, hopefully. But a lot of people work in environments where there is distraction built into meals. But even if you can just take 10 minutes, or maybe it's not work, but it's just your life, 10 minutes to get away from the distraction and chew your food, which is also going to help majorly with digestion and how you feel later in the day, and be present with your food. I cannot tell you how much knowledge you will gain about yourself from those 10 minutes and how many cravings it's going to prevent later in the day. Because when we eat, when we're distracted, we usually undereat or overeat, or we don't chew our food. And that is really what can lead to those like intense sugar and salt cravings in the afternoon.
And I'll also stack on there, as we talked about in the Tale of Two Cookies, like, being present with your food is the opposite of being stuck in a shame spiral or a guilt spiral or comparing yourself to what you should have eaten. But also, when you're present with your body, you are then able to be present with what you need food-wise. So there's so many different elements of this. I love that you're talking
about. Yes, 100%. I mean, it really, you want it to be a very sensory experience. Mm-hmm. And it's going to feel silly. It will. And I'm not saying you can't ever eat. You know, you are going to get to a place with everything that we are working on together. You're going to get to a place where you can occasionally multitask while you eat and have music on in the background and maybe be talking to somebody. But for now, we are really just going to try to soak up all the knowledge that comes from being present with our food, tasting it, you know, noticing the textures and all of that goodness. Okay. And then last main point is mindful eating as the key to noticing hunger. And we've really talked about this a lot, but a lot of us get to a point where we are uncomfortably full. And I think that can set off a lot of the shame and guilt and spiral that Leanne is just so adept at working against. But really, even for me, practicing mindful eating has been so incredibly helpful from maintaining my healthy relationship with food, because I actually notice when I'm comfortably full and I stop there. And guys, the great thing about that is that if you decide, you know what, I think I'm comfortably full, and 20 minutes later you check in again and you're noticing some of those hunger signals, like, you can eat again. No one's stopping you from eating again. There's no hard and fast rules about this.
And that's where the freedom lives, ladies, when you're mindfully choosing it rather than feeling like it's choosing you and you're in it's controlling you. And so again, like, we're talking about these shifts right now, and notice we haven't even really brought up cooking. We're going to get into that next mm-hmm. week. But like, can you see how like we could give you all of the stressless cooking strategies, but if we don't address the relationship that you're bringing with food into it, and I wanted you to hear it. I love it because it's obviously, you can see now what I mean by we have the same philosophies, but coming from such a different space and such a different place from Laura Lee's, you know, just experience. And she's worked with thousands of women in the cooking world. You know, it's just so, so important. Like, you can't not address this, or else you'll bring these things into your cooking and preparation relationship with food too.
100%. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. Awesome. So we are just, that's really all the content we have for today. As you can see, like, this is just where we are really giving you the fertile soil, because we're going to really, next week, we're actually going to, I mean, you've gotten the food goggles, the freedom goggles, the body goggles, the love goggles from your inner compass. We're going to show you how to custom craft your new cooking goggles. We're going to show you how to literally make it that, I don't want to say black or white, we're going to say red or blue, right? The new red versus the old blue. We're going to show you how to custom craft that based on what you need in that moment, okay? But for right now, what I'm going to do is, if you have any questions, go ahead and, hold on, I'm going to just switch over my screen so I can see you all. I love it. We got Christy, we got Kim, we got Jade on here. If any of you guys have, this is it, anything that you want to know, anything that you have, if you want to either type in the chat or unmute yourself, we would be happy to just spend some time with you answering any questions that you have or any comments, anything like that. We'd love to hear from you. So feel free to type in the chat or unmute yourself.
And while y'all are deciding about that, if you want to type something in, I would just encourage you in the next week to just start practicing some of this sort of mindful eating techniques that we talked about, and really listening to your hunger cues. And it doesn't need to be anything too time consuming or complicated, but just, you know, start to really check in on a regular basis and notice some of that and slow down. And I really look forward to seeing what that does, even just, you know, 7 days later.
Awesome. And I know this is a lot of the fundamentals, so don't fear if you don't have any questions or anything like that. But if you do, we're going to give you one more opportunity to just share and declare anything. Kim, I see you just unmuted yourself. Did you want to chime in?
Yeah, I just had a question.
Please.
So when you start listening to your hunger cues and you start, does it take very long? Does it take like just a few days to kind of start to key into those?
Great question. Do you,
yeah, okay.
Yeah. Was there more? Did I just cut you off?
No, not at all. That's it. Yeah.
So I'll start.
Yeah.
So here's my simple answer to this. Like, anytime we're talking about creating new habits in the brain, there's the tale of two brains in a different front. There's a way of making a habit really sticky and easy for the brain to learn. And there's a way that you can practice and it'll never become you. It'll never become a skill set. And the difference between those two experiences of habits is what's called positive neuroassociations. And so the real truth is that if you create any new habit alongside a pleasurable experience, and the cool thing is that we're always taking you in the direction of like, how do I want to feel, you know, and being right. Mindful and moving towards pleasure, moving towards freedom, moving towards peace of mind. By default, we're already firing and wiring those positive neuroassociations alongside it. And that's why we started with the mindset topic, because again, if we brought all those negative associations that we have with food alongside into our cooking, it'll never become a habit, because negative neuroassociations are essentially a signal to your brain saying, you know what, I'm never going to need this anymore anyway. She's not going to be doing it very long. And it's a surefire way for your brain to know that it's not going to need to move it from that short-term part of your brain to that long-term basal ganglia where those long-term storage habits are stored. And so the answer to your question is, well, there's a couple fold. First of all, you've got to get, for any new transformation, especially like a mindset shift, you have to just get radically committed to it. It's either like you're in or you're out. And so that's why experimentation is so powerful for this. So like, if listening to your hunger cues was just like a 7 to 10 day experiment, I would be shocked if it didn't just become you by day 10. But you've got to get in those reps originally, because right. The brain needs repetition. But as long as you're firing and wiring positive neuroassociations alongside that habit, then yes, absolutely. It becomes you, and then you get to just have it.
Yeah, I think that is all absolutely amazing information. I totally agree. And I think very similarly, I would say when you are really working to become an intuitive eater and listen to your hunger cues, it is that much more important for the environment to be as distraction-free. So I would say you will have probably quicker success. If you can work on that in an environment that where you really are focusing on the experience, I think that's going to make things just go a little bit faster. I also find that the more I'm enjoying the meal in terms of how it tastes, anything I can do to really cement that experience in my brain and make it a positive one, as Leanne is saying, make it really enjoyable so that your brain wants to repeat it, that's going to help with that as well.
I love that. And just like, yeah, bringing in that sensory experience. So think about like the non-food related stuff too, like music, and just like being in a clean kitchen before you start, or being out outside, like take your food outside if it's beautiful, and just like the air that you're breathing, like being out in fresh air or opening a window or even like lighting an incense or something like that. Like think about all the non-food related experiences that you can fire and wire alongside. I love that you brought in that sensory element
too. Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Great question, Kim. Thanks for asking that.
Thanks for answering. Those were great.
Beautiful.
Great.
Do you feel like you got the clarity that you were looking for on that?
Okay. Yeah, really good ways to get it cemented in there.
Awesome. Yeah, it actually is kind of like cementing it in your brain. I love how you put
that. It's like a well-worn rut.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Cool. Anybody else? Let's see. Oh, sorry. I think I just, Christy, did you just try to unmute yourself and I muted you? Or did I just make that up? Okay, cool. Any other questions from you ladies before we head out? All right.
Cool.
Well, like I said, we're just getting into the basics right now. We're kind of just like bridging the gap. Next week, we're going to really dive into some of the truths and the non-truths around, you know, cooking, and really set you up to solidify these, a new pair of goggles to bring with you every step of the way. And we're just going to keep building this week by week, layer by layer. So don't hesitate to just, if you have any questions in the meantime, keep them ready to roll. And we'll be here answering questions every single week that we do this. In the meantime, thank you so much for joining us. We're so grateful that you were here live. For those of you who are listening to the recording of this, don't hesitate to send in any questions that you have to the help desk. If there's anything I can answer, I'll make sure that Laura Lee chimes in as well. We are just so grateful that you're here for this process. And again, just, it's always about who you're being, ladies. Who you're being, you get the choice to bring that version of you with you everywhere you go, so that by default, the doing side of things is through the lens that you really want to be seeing yourself through, and of who you truly want to be being. So anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Amen.
Amen.
Love you, babe.
Awesome. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us. We'll put the call recording up in this up in your membership site, and we'll start a whole new stressless cooking section for you. And again, thank you so much. We're signing off for right now, and we're grateful that you were here. See you soon, ladies.
Bye, guys.